Thanks for tuning into Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
We're excited about today. I was getting messages a minute ago from all the campuses, Ferguson, Florissant, Earth City, Sunset Hills, and it is on fire, and the worship was the same here. They're calling it a pre-revival. Come on, somebody shout pre-revival. And if you're new today, especially in St. Louis, Florida, you don't know about this, but our church in St. Louis is obviously thousands and thousands of people who are streaming right now, but it's 70% Catholic and Lutheran. So, you know, people come in for the first time and wonder, man, what's all the yelling about and miracles and healings? You know that Jesus is still alive and well today, and he believes in healing the sick and raising people up to a standard of life that they've never, ever been before. It's not about a denomination. It's about a relationship with Jesus. So we always say, you know, there might be a Baptist door, a Presbyterian door, you know, a First Pentecostal, Second Pentecostal, Third Pentecostal, Charismaniac. Come on, somebody. But if they all end up coming into the same room, if they believe in Jesus, and people say, well, when you get there, what's Jesus? Jesus, white or black? You're going to be surprised when he says, Buenos Dios. Come on, somebody, help me right now. But we're excited about what's getting ready to happen right now in revival. And if you are new to this, I want to get you caught up. At the beginning of the year, what you just saw in the video announcements, it was just, it had snowed actually multiple weeks. I was in St. Louis. And we weren't going to have church again, and people just watch online, you know, the service from Saturday night. But the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to just have a random service at Earth City. Come on, Earth City, do some yelling there. I know you're watching in Earth City. And so we did, Sunday night, and it just kept growing, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people started coming. And it went Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. And we would bring in, like, guest speakers. We didn't plan on it. I just called some friends, Rod Parsley, Sammy Rodriguez, come on, and Real Talk Kim. Others came, but we never really used them. God just moved. Well, he spoke to me and said, in the fall, I'm going to visit the church again, because we shut it down. Everybody said, keep going, but God said, no, that was 10% what I'm going to release. But he said, I'm coming in the fall. So I kept wondering, and I told you, will it be September, or October, or November? Then, 20 days ago tomorrow, 20 days before that, you know, tomorrow will be the 20th day, where we said we're going to fast and pray for 20 days. Some of us fasted food totally for multiple days. Some people Netflix. We know we've been fasting secular music for the rest of the year. And God just spoke to us about 3 days in and said, I'm going to visit us on November the 4th. And I'm going to bring in my anointing like never, ever before. So that's starting tomorrow in St. Louis at Sunset Hills and in Royal Palm Beach at our Royal Palm Beach campus. So it's about to rain. Come on, somebody, shout amen to that. It's about to rain. Now, to set it up, the Bible said that these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs. So signs and miracles are going to fall on people's lives, and it'll follow. Are you a believer? Come on, shout it. I'm a believer. Who ever heard of an unbelieving believer, right? So last time we had certain things, like I told them in Royal Palm, get a kiddie pool. We're getting a kiddie pool in St. Louis because the Lord told me to. It sounded weird to me. I was embarrassed. I hit it in the back, and then God said, now it's time. And have people come up that have been bound by pornography, and hundreds of people, much to my surprise, begin to run up on stage and run through it, a lot of them middle-aged women. Well, then all of a sudden somebody got healed of deafness when they got in the pool. Well, in Florida they had the pool, so a lady, in her like 80-year-old lady, she said, I ain't never messed with pornography, but I can't hear. So she jumped in the pool, took out her hearing aids, and threw them in the pool. And I was like, oh no, I hope this works. And God restored her. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. We still believe in miracles. Anybody believe in miracles? Jesus is the healer. So we're expecting radical, ridiculous things that are going to happen. Now let's back up for a moment and talk about when it actually happened. Now, how many of y'all wouldn't think I was weird that if I told you that God sometimes uses signs and uses his word ultimately and then speaks to my spirit, but I'll wake up with a digital alarm clock and it might say like 505, and I'm like, that's great. Or it might say 555, which five means grace. Everybody shout, five means grace. Or sometimes it'll say like 506, six means man. God says there's flesh in the ministry somewhere, adjust something. And I don't mean that I live my life by that. Also, I'm a pilot, right? So I fly airplanes. So I look outside and I can see, but when I can't see, I look at my instruments and I verify what this six-pack is. It's a six-pack, not because I don't have one, but a six-pack up on a gauge. And you're scanning to see what it is. Well, I would say it's like a Holy Ghost six-pack. You're scanning to see, like, this is checking out with my spirit. In fact, some of you right now have been led into this church for this season. You felt like you were, yeah, I was spiritually dry. I feel like God's calling me somewhere. This is the next level for me. And then the enemy tells you,
He hooks in with the enemy and says, that's too far to drive all the way to Weldon. You shouldn't go to Ferguson. I'm telling you, in fact, this last week, Nicole was preaching at the Ferguson campus, and some lady came for the first time. She said, my husband said, I don't want you to go to the Ferguson campus because it's in a bad neighborhood. Which, by the way, Ferguson Florissant campus is not a bad neighborhood, but how many of y'all know the devil is a liar? Because Ferguson is ground zero in America for racial tension. But she came and she said, it's a sign. I didn't expect to see you, Pastor Nicole. And God did a revolutionary work with her at the Ferguson campus last Sunday. Give it up for Ferguson right now. Come on, you guys got to clap a little bit better than that. So God began to speak to me and said, 555. Now there was a clap of thunder. I'm going to take you to video in a minute. A clap of thunder woke me up, and there was just like a crazy storm hitting Sunset Hills. Now that's the reason why this is behind me, is because we were actually showing you kind of in a way. I had the real shot of the radar screen that morning. And I was getting ready to go to the gym. I go to the gym in the morning. A guy told me the other day, he said, I get up every morning, I run around the block four times, and then I kick the block back under the bed and go back to sleep. And I can respect that. But I was got up, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I bring a flood to Sunset Hills in particular. Last time it was our city, and all our campuses are anointed. We feel a degree of anointing, but he said there's something significant about Sunset Hills. Here's a couple facts about it. Sunset Hills, 13,000 Gravois Road, was built by a guy by the name of Rick Shelton. He had his personal assistant who had a bad attitude. He had a fire two different times, but he got her right. She ended up starting a ministry there called Life in the Word at Life Christian Center at Sunset Hills. Her name is Joyce Meyer. Come on, somebody ought to give it up for Joyce. And a revival hit the church that we now own, and that's where Joyce launched. That's why if you're at Sunset Hills, her office is like two blocks down, right? Then Rodney Howe Brown comes from South Africa, and he comes there at 13,000 Gravois Road, where some of you are sitting now. And the power of God hits that church, and for 16 weeks, they had services twice a day. So God spoke to me, and he said, like Acts 2 was a meeting place with God. There are certain spaces and places that God says, this is mine. It's marked for revival. He said, Sunset Hills is marked for revival. And he said, you are going to help lead churches into revival, not just our church, but the capital C church, that we would make the Holy Ghost cool again. Now let's put the brakes on it a second. Say, what do you mean by that? I mean that weird people have made the Holy Spirit weird. I'm talking about faith healers and people that Saturday Night Live would make fun of, and people kind of out there, and they were just kind of weird and naturally weird. They're weird people. But the Holy Spirit is in a rebranding process right now. In fact, a guy by the name of Kanye West right now is rebranding and making the Holy Ghost cool again. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Now, while this is going on, our church was small when God first spoke to me and said, I'm going to bring an end time revival. I'm going to make the church really, really big. And we did, as you know. You're sitting in thousands of seats right now watching. And he said, people won't respect you while you're small. But when I make it one of the most influential churches in America, CBS reported that recently, right? The eighth most influential church in America. So what God did was said, I'm going to come upon a little boy with not a lot of education and not a lot going for him, but he's going to help make the Holy Ghost cool again. And I'm going to raise him up so he won't mess up, so he can lift up the end time revival that we have right now. Y'all following with me? So then he says to me, the next revival would be a revival of worship. Everybody shout, a revival of worship. As I told you, we would bring in guest speakers, and then people would come out of wheelchair and Rod Parsley would watch. We would bring in the guest speaker the next night, and feeding tubes would come out, and blind eyes were healed, and deaf ears were unstopped, and the guest preacher would show up. Then that's when God spoke to me and said, my next move, my presence is necessary, but man's presence is not. Again, that would be six. Man, he said even to me, he said, your presence is not necessary. In fact, some of you are right now in a campus, and you're watching me on a screen and saying, how could it be that he's live in Florida Sunday morning and preaching to me live here? You would think, surely a guy wouldn't walk away from that big of a church to come into high school. Well, no, God spoke to me that my presence is not necessary, but I'm at a street called Shiloh right now. It's a meeting place for God, and God wanted me to be here, and he wanted me to be there, and you're receiving the blessing. Somebody ought to give God praise of this word right now through technology. And you're watching screens anyway. If you don't like a screen, never go to a movie again, you little liar. You've watched Denzel on every screen possible. So we're receiving through the power of God, because my presence isn't necessary, his presence is necessary. Now, when God spoke to me, the next revival move in the fall would be worship. Everybody shout worship. Worship. All campuses, say it loud and strong. What? Worship. I didn't know that Kanye would come out with a song all about Jesus, right? Not just a song, a whole album. When the world said, we don't love you, you'll never fill stadiums again. When his record albums and everybody that come against him said, you'll never be able to do that. In fact, go if you were going to do a gospel album, do it real generic. A lot of people talk about a higher power. A lot of people talk about God. But Kanye, whether you like it or not, came out and said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I want to say that I'm totally behind him. I love his music and what God's done for him. It is a Saul to Paul experience where God is using the end time revival to impress and affect Hollywood. Okay. It's a little quiet in here. I hope our city is at least participating a little bit. Worship. Everybody shout worship. Now again, I'm explaining to you, I'll give you some more scriptures in a minute. But first I actually want to go to Acts chapter 9 for a second. It says, verse 1, Saul, you know, as we know now, the artist formerly known as Saul, he's now Paul, he was breathing out threats of murder against people. And then it says in verse 3 that suddenly, that's the same word that is used in Acts 2 where it says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven. And suddenly, a touch from heaven. Jesus came and rescued me. I break out in song a lot right now because I'm getting ready for the revival. Yeah. Suddenly a light shone from heaven and it fell. He fell on the ground and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, whenever God says your name twice, you're in trouble. Martha, Martha, David, David. Come on, somebody help me right now. He said, you have persecuted me. He said, Lord, have I persecuted you? By persecuting my people, you're kicking against me. Then he says, arise and go to the city and I'll tell you what you must do there. Then it says that Saul arose up from the ground, and his eyes were open, and he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And there he was for 3 days. Three, numerology, three, three. Everybody shout three. 3 days he was there. God miraculously transforms his life. And I'm here to talk to you today a minute about the next level for us as a church. Three is a significant number. We know the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know that there's faith, the hope, and love. We know in the Bible it talks about the ark of God and where it would abide, and it said there was the inner court, the outer court, and the holy of holies. There's something significant about him being 3 days being blind. Some of you today have been blind to the things of the Spirit, been blind to the next level. You couldn't see what was supposed to be happening, and there's a spiritual blindness that is coming off of you even this very weekend. As you enter into November 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th, God is going to show you, and you'll be able to see with 2020 clarity the hopes and the dreams and the prayers that you prophesied over 2020. You're getting ready to receive it. In other words, you know the drill. If you couldn't have a baby, get ready to stay up all night and nurse it. If you couldn't get a house because you had no credit, get ready to give God the credit. Somebody ought to shout amen. And it says that every prisoner is released. So if you're bound by depression, you're bound by lack, you're bound by suicide, you're bound by inferiority, you're bound by sleeping disorders, I'm telling you, it is your banner year Jubilee, and it starts right now in 2020. It's going to be full of signs, supernatural manifestation. I'm telling you, as a spiritual meteorologist, it's not a drizzle, it's not a trickle. It is getting ready to be a deluge of rain over our church. I give you 10 seconds to praise him. Come on, give him praise. He's good. 3 days. 3 days. You can be seated. People might be saying, why are you in Florida today? I don't know. You might want to pull out your phone and look. This morning I looked and it was like 31 degrees in St. Louis and it was 81 here. I felt the prompting of the Holy Ghost and stay here. Come on, somebody. Nelly's song ain't working in St. Louis right now. It's getting cold in here. Now, I want to show you a picture of me when I was little, not because it's cute, because it's not. It's actually embarrassing because I have a bowl cut. Let's put it up real quick. That's me and the bowl cut. Remember Dumb and Dumber when he had the bowl cut? That's it right there. That's where he got it from. There's a couple things I want to point out to you. My dad took the picture of me because, and pay attention to that album cover in a minute. But just to put it about the size that I was, you can take it down. In Cahokia, Illinois, not far from our St. Louis campus is right there by the Cahokia Mounds. My dad began to do a revival. He began to preach. We lived in a little trailer, you see. I'd do my school there during the day and we'd go to church at night. And I was going to church, and like always, I literally cut my teeth on the back of a pew and hear my daddy preach, and he didn't preach 30-minute sermons. He preached an hour or two. You didn't need a clock. You needed a calendar, okay? And I would be playing with the cars, and I felt the tug of the Holy Spirit that many of you feel right now. I felt God, right there, about that same age, God was telling me, go down the front. I told my mom I need to go to the front. She said, stop it. Anybody ever had a mom that, like, she slapped at you at church? Come on. Some of y'all didn't even go to church. Raise your hand if you've ever been to church, right? And she said, stop it, stop it. I said, no, Mom, I got to go. My dad was giving an altar call for people that wanted more of God. And she finally let me go, and I went up to the altar. And let me tell you something. When you go to the altar, you alter your life. God alters your decision. He alters your heart. God was doing something in me as a little boy that was actually preparing me for today. I cried, and God touched me in a big way, and I was kind of out of it and just crying, worshiping God for like an hour even after church was over. My dad finally said, I picked you up, and you were kind of just out of it, and I carried you over to the trailer, and for then about an hour, you just emaciated and worn out, and I shook you and said, hey, quit, stop it. And I came back, and I had an experience with Jesus. Now, I want to point out that I didn't live perfect after that. I did all kinds of things. That's why you hear all those songs coming out in my message, like, I'll make love to you like you want me to. Come on. Then I'll hold you tight. A lot of heathens. I was just checking. Come on. So y'all couldn't tell me where Paul got knocked off the horse, but you know that song. All right? Now, part of the reason why I do that is to let you know that that's part of the thing that God put in me. I am that and I am this. I am relevant and real, so it shows people who once were lost in sin that when you let Jesus in, he will even take the things that were a mess and make it a message. The test ends up being a testimony. The reverse is, I wish I had somebody helping me today. He turns it around for your good. God will turn it for your good. So while this is happening, I have this experience with God. I'm getting somewhere with this. That album cover. It wasn't by accident that album cover was the album cover that was accidentally there. Let's fast forward. I sound really old, but probably 40 years later. That album cover, let's zoom in on that album cover 1 minute. It says on there, Johnny Price. And so a guy, you can take it down, a guy who owns the Daystar Television Network who started it named Marcus Lamb. Marcus Lamb didn't know it, but he sees the picture. He sees the picture, and he sees me, and he sees Johnny Price. He's a huge fan of Johnny Price. In fact, Johnny Price's wife, Cindy, is their co-host, and they love it, and they're like, what's this connection? And they started feeling a connection to me. I had been praying before I ever knew that Marcus knew me, and I would say, someday Daystar is going to come to Sunset Hills, and they're going to broadcast from our church. And someday they're going to broadcast our women's conference. And let me tell you right now, what is it, year three? They've given us tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe $1 million of the airtime. And I'm telling you, it wasn't by accident that as a child, God had that picture framed just right to prepare me for the actual purpose and path that I had in this century, in this time. Come on, somebody shout amen to this. It's not by accident. So when your life, even though you went to prison and you got betrayed and you got divorced and you had these setbacks, I'm telling you that God is not checking with your past to see what he's going to do in your future. It was no surprise to him that you did what you did, but it was a surprise to the devil that God was doing what he'd been doing back there, and now he's bringing to light right now in the banner year. Come on, somebody. In the Jubilee of 2020, supernatural setups for your comeback. Alone, I'm doing better preaching than you are, amen. And we were there as a child. And what God was doing is he was setting things up for my future. It's a setup. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a setup. It's a setup. Come on, all campuses, look at your neighbor and say, it's a setup. And we know we talked about faith, hope, and love, the inner court, outer court, holy of holies. We talked about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God wants more of you, and the more of you that you give God, the more of his power he will release in your life. That is why today at all campuses, the campus pastor texted me going, man, Ferguson Florissant's on fire. Weldon, Earth City, Sunset, they're like, this church is on fire. This church is on fire. Right? What is happening is you guys have come up to another level. The higher you go, the more power and flow he releases. And that's why some of you, you were in a space and place. You were in a church. You were in a relationship. And you felt a holy aggravation. You knew that God was calling you out of that into this. And you were asking God, what is next? And now he takes you to a high school. He takes you to Ferguson Florissant campus. He takes you to Earth City that was a former bar, 150,000 square feet. It was a nightclub. Swing your partner, swing around, kick her in the booty, knock her down, whatever it was. It was a big club. And some of you saw it on television and thought, I used to get drunk in that club, and now you're coming in drinking a different kind of wine, and you switch partners. Somebody ought to shout amen. You don't have to stop dancing when you get saved. You just got to switch partners. Glory, 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 glory. In the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about the glory. Let's go to Exodus 16. I want to go to some passages real quick. Exodus 16, verse 7 says, "And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord." The glory of the Lord. Verse 10 says, "And it shall come to pass," Aaron spake to the whole congregation, the children of Israel. We could paraphrase and say, Faith Church at all our locations. And they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. God can show up and wreck your life whenever He chooses to wreck it. I'm not talking in a bad way. I'm talking in a good way. And when you give yourself away, you say, "I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away." Come on, sing it. "Oh, I give myself away so you can use me." Right? He goes on to say, "My life is not my own. You, I belong. I give myself away." Be that way. Get in tune with the Holy Spirit over the next few days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and give yourself solely to the Lord and watch Him touch you. Watch Him bring His glory as a cloud into your life. Exodus 40, verse 34, one more time, it says, the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. It's what's going to happen in Royal Palm. It's what's going to happen at Sunset Hills. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. Moses was not even entering, being able to enter the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode therein. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. In other words, it was so thick, and the glory was so strong, and the power of God was so strong, he couldn't even enter in. I'm telling you, that's going to happen Monday, Tuesday. You say, "Well, you sure are getting our hopes up." Well, I'm scared as you are if I was dependent on me, but I've actually been with the one that was not me, and the one who's not me, the one who's in me, told me to tell you that he is about to release a supernatural glory cloud into your life, and all debts are going to be canceled, and all prisoners are released, and it's up to you to latch a hold of that with your faith. Shout, "I believe I'll take mine." Let's try it like you had breakfast. Shout, "I believe I'll take mine." By the way, if you don't want yours, I'll take yours too. Anybody ever been eating a meal and somebody didn't finish their dessert? You're like, "You going to eat that?" I was preaching for the first time with T.D. Jakes one time. And I was, Nicole for some reason couldn't go with me, but they had had a seat for her on this stadium, this big thing that we were at. And so there was a dessert. And there was me, there was Nicole who was not there, and then there was T.D. Jakes. And T.D. Jakes eventually looked over at me and that cake was sitting there, and he said, "You going to eat that?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, I'm about to eat that." And I think that's the way it's going to be when the glory of the Lord comes in. You need to look some people like this, and you're like, "You ain't going to eat that? I'm going to eat all that because I'm ready for the glory to hit my house. I'm ready for supernatural opportunity to hit my house." Leviticus 9, verse 4. I'm giving you a lot of glory scriptures, but I'm wanting to show you that more anything that you see in the Bible more than three times, you can build a doctrine off of it, and we've done this. Leviticus 9, verse 4 says, "Also, a bullock, a ram, a peace offering," there's three, "to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering," there's four, "mingled with oil." Oil's always the type of the Holy Spirit. "For today the Lord will appear unto you." And Moses said, "This thing which the Lord commanded that we should do, and the glory," everybody shout it, "the glory," come on, all campuses, shout it loud, "the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." Offering, offering. The greatest offering you can ever give God is your whole life. That's why I said that song a minute ago, "I give myself away." He's wanting to give all of himself to you, for God so loved the world that he gave. Come on, shout it. He did what? He didn't withhold, he gave. He said, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, God, but your will be done." And Jesus dies this bloody death on the cross of Calvary for us. By his stripes we are healed. He became poor that we might be rich. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So we could say, my God, why have you accepted me?" It was the great redemption, the great exchange. He didn't owe a debt, but he paid it. We owed a debt and couldn't pay it. I'm talking about Jesus today. In all of his glory, in all of his power, he's saying, "All of me wants all of you." You know that song? "All your curves and all your edges. All your," don't act like you don't know, "perfect imperfection."
Some of y'all, all the white people are like, I don't know what you're talking about, Miller. I'm telling you, God wants all of you. He's probably up there saying today, say my name, say my name. If you want some glory, if you want a story, you'll never be the same. Say my name, say my name. You're playing games, you don't come to church early, that's why you're squirrely, you're just kind of insane, say my name, you're kind of crazy and you're a little lazy, you're almost insane, say my name, I'm ready for revival, tomorrow it's on like Donkey Kong, I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep tonight, I think I'm going to fly home by myself. Meet me in St. Louis. Y'all messed up in here. The late service, by the way, Sunset, 11:35 in Earth City and Ferguson. The late service is the one. It's the one where I figure it out. And it's where all the people, y'all done been up, had coffee, had breakfast, had lunch, had more coffee. You're like, I'm ready for this. Leviticus 9, one more time. It says bring an offering. Well, let's talk about that. God wants an offering of your whole life. So I can't give Nicole part of me. She wants all of me. Yeah. She's saying, yeah. She didn't say, you know what? We got married when she asked me to marry her. I got it wrong. When I asked her to marry me, I didn't say, you know what? What I want to do is I want to marry you. There's 52 weeks in a year. What I'm really asking is for 50 weeks with you. And then I need 2 weeks off. Just for good behavior, do what I want to do. Because I don't know that I want to be locked in. 2 weeks, and it's just like at Disney, just blackout dates to do what I want to do. How many of y'all know Nicole be like, I'll bust a cap up in you. Mm-hmm. You'll be doing it from a wheelchair. But God, why should we think that God's any less? But we give God a little 30 minutes on Sunday morning every third Sunday. But he's saying, I don't want part of you. I deserve all of you. And I'm committed to you. I put a ring, come on somebody, on it because I loved you. I'm pierced with my hands and my feet. Somebody ought to shout amen. I took on that bloody crown of thorns so that you could be free of mental illness. And I want all of you, not part of you. I dare you to praise him right now. Let him know you mean business. Let him know you're not playing. Numbers 14, we got to hurry. I kept messing around, singing songs, and doing stupid stuff. That's why I'll be glad at revival, because it starts at 7. And we got to be reset the next night by 7. Which means you might, some night around midnight, call your boss and say, you'll notice in 2 weeks that I haven't been there in 2 weeks. I'm calling in heel today. Numbers 14, verse 10. But all the congregation came with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation, the children of Israel. Numbers 20, verse 6 says, and Moses and Aaron went into the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Appeared to them. The glory. Glory in the law of first mention means money, by the way. If you're a scholar, you went to Bible school, you know you always have to trace back the word to the original spot where it's first mentioned. The law of first mention always kicks in. It can mean other things, but it means ultimately this. So the first time it's mentioned in Genesis, it's about M-O-N-E-Y. It's about money. And some of you have been under financial pressure for so long, and there's been such a strain. But part of the reason is because you've never given God that part of your life. You're like, I trust you with my salvation, but not my money. I trust you with my kids, but not my money. I trust you with my marriage, but not my money. And that's where God gets offended when he said, you can't serve God and money, but you can serve God with money. He said that you would probably love money more than him. So just make sure that during this revival that you say, God, I'm not offering just my life. I'm offering that part that cost me a lot. When Nicole and I first started coming down to Palm Beach Lakes, and we spent millions of dollars on television, and we never asked for any money, and we were helping people, you know what we were doing? We were sowing. We were giving away. And a lot of you in St. Louis trusted me that I would come back every week. And then a lot of you knew he owes the bank $14 million. He's got to come back. But you allowed me to do that, and you allowed me to really help people, because when we make our offering to God, it changes life.
changed his life. Last night I was at Denny's eating. And for those of you who say, oh, I thought you were fasting. I told you I was eating fast. No, I fasted a couple days, and then I do intermittent fasting. Might only, you know, eat nothing but fruits and vegetables one day and so on. But obviously, last night we left the Royal Palm Beach Chapel, and I said, Nicole, you hungry? And she said, yeah, she's born hungry. And we were passing to Denny's, and she said, I haven't been to Denny's in a while. And immediately I almost wrecked the car because I hadn't been to Denny's in a long time. I went in there because Denny's is good. Let's just thank God for Denny's. Lord, we praise you, Lord, for Denny's right now. God, we thank you, Lord, for the Grand Slam. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Thank you, Lord, for French toast that's crushed around the edges. God, I thank you for hash browns. God, oh, hashtag hash browns. We went in there, sit down at the table. And come here, Jalen, run up here real fast so they can see. I'm not lying. Ferguson Florson want to see you anyway. If you guys want to know, you got betrayed by Jalen because he went to work in L.A. for a 6-month contract and hosed you guys. He also slept late today and missed morning prayer. I just want to let you know. But last night we went to Denny's, and the girl, she came up. It's me and Nicole and Jalen, and she went, oh, it's you. It happened, didn't it? She said, I was in prison for 4 years, and every Sunday morning, I would see the two of you come on, and it was the thing that I held on to. And now I'm out of prison, and I'm having a baby, and I got a job, and my life's restored again. And basically, come on, somebody. Come on, you ought to give God good praise for that. Basically, it was the fulfillment of Scripture. But Jesus said, I was in prison, and you came and visited me. As always, just so you don't think I'm lying, I Instagram my whole life. So let's play the Instagram of me at Denny's last night. Let it bless you.
Okay, I was just at Denny's, and she told me, what did you say?
I've been
working
for 4 years, and everyone
in my
work, I would watch
them
on TV, and
they
come to
you. You made my whole day. That's what we do. She's happy, she's getting ready to have a baby.
Come on, give it up for that lady right there. Come on, give it up for people that went to jail and came out. Actually, you want to hear a banner here story? There's a guy here in West Palm a minute ago. He came up to me and he started crying. He said, thank you for praying over my son. Thank you for calling me back, because he asked me to call him back a few months ago, and I did. And he had done something and got in trouble, and it didn't look good for him, but God delivered him. And then he had an opportunity to get a job, and it was going to pay $9 an hour more. He just told me this a minute ago. $9 an hour more, but they found out about it, and they said, well, we can't really put you in that spot anymore now that we found this out, but we like you so much. We've created a new spot for you, and it'll be the same pay and the same time off. Come on, somebody shout Jubilee. Somebody shout Jubilee. I'm telling you, just because you did something in your past, every sinner has a past, and every saint has a future, and God works all things together for your good, and some of God's greatest men did it from prison. Look at Joseph. He went from the prison to the palace. Somebody give God praise for people who reformed their lives. Not that it matters, but it would matter to that sweet girl. She said, I never did drugs, but I started hanging around a guy and living with a guy who sold drugs. And he did drugs, but I never did drugs, but I got caught selling it and went to prison for 4 years, and little tears started streaming down. She said, I never want to go back there again. I said, you keep this job and keep serving God. You never have to go back there again. I'm telling you, you may have never been incarcerated in a physical prison, but you might be in a prison of a bad marriage or a prison in a bad situation or addiction or something that's driving you crazy. And I prophesy to you that God is getting ready to take you out of this prison and take you to the palace of your dreams. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about a supernatural act. Somebody ought to shout to this. An outpouring. Let God love to you today. Get in church today. Serve God today. As we line up for revival, we're almost done. Look at your neighbor and say, he's a liar. He doesn't mean it. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, it says this. It says, you also are like living stones being built up. Come on, our city. You're being built up into spiritual houses, holy priesthood, offering special sacrifices acceptable to God. You know what's acceptable to God? Your whole life. When he did what he did to me when I was a little boy, and I strayed and went the wrong way, and like all of us, God had predestined with all of his goodness that someday that I would be in charge of a movement, that we would leave a legacy, that we would make a mark. And all the glory goes to him because it can't be because of me. People are always surprised when they go in those churches that you're in right now, and I meet people in the hallway and they see it and they look at me and they go, oh, who's the pastor? And I say, well, I am, last time I checked. And they can't believe it because they couldn't believe that it would be a guy like me. I'm telling you that God's not checking with your education or the lack of that to see what he's going to do. He's not checking with your past to see what he's going to do in your present and how he's going to perpetuate a future for you that's glorious. I'm just here to tell you, if you'll latch a hold of it today and give God everything, I'm talking about your money. I'm talking about your thoughts. I'm talking about everything where you say, I'm returning the tithe because the first 10% belongs to God and I'll never rob you again. And then also I'm getting ready to make something happen. God, for you, the master jubilee builder, that in this banner year, that I would actually take my generosity and remember that freely I've been blessed. So as we go into the banner year jubilee offering at Christmas time, that we're offering Jesus something that cost us something. Psalms 112, verse 9, it says, they share freely and give generously to those in need. Their deeds will be remembered forever, remembered forever. Shout it with me everywhere, remembered forever. One more time, what? Remembered forever. Those of you that helped us build Ferguson Floristic, you're sitting there right now on a 17-acre campus with those new modulars in the back that are almost open. And I look at the growth, and I look at the dream teamers. When I think about Leo, and I think about Julie Thompson and Jim Thompson at Earth City and all the teams at Sunset Hills that work so hard, I'm amazed at how much people have sacrificed. And I just want to tell you, the Bible said that freely you've been given something, freely you give back, and said your deeds will be remembered forever. When you get to heaven, how many like me, you want to go but not today? Raise your hand. You want to go to heaven but not today. When you get to heaven, there's going to be a whole lot of people that come up to you, like that girl that came up to me at Denny's last night. And you know who bought the airtime? You did, St. Louis. You know who down here, nobody knew that who me and Nicole were. And we started spending $100,000 on ABC and Fox 29 and CBS. And we were getting people saved in the middle of the night. We had no church to go to. St. Louis, you will be remembered forever. Preaching to a girl for 4 years in prison. And now she's a productive citizen who heard the word. And it set her free forever. And when you get to heaven, she'll look at you along with thousands of other people. Somebody shout amen. And they'll say, thank you for tithing. Thank you for giving. Thank you for not just being about your phone, your house, your trip to Tahiti, your kids' vacation. You're saying, I have been blessed, and I will bless others with the generosity that's in my hand. We're almost done. If you're taking medicine, we're 7 minutes and 40 seconds over my allotted time. But I have to leave before too long because I have a flight back to St. Louis because there's a revival. Last scripture, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, it said, tell those who have riches in this world. You might be like, I'm not rich. You live in America. You are. People are starving in other places. Don't be arrogant. Don't place your confidence in anything of uncertain riches. Instead, place your confidence richly in the one who provides everything for you to enjoy. In other words, God's not against you being blessed. Tell them to do good, a lot of good, with what they have. Do good things. Be generous and share. When you do this, you're storing up treasures in heaven. I'm here to tell you today that in Haiti there's ambulances running around because you paid for it. I'm saying today in India there's multiple churches where people are having church today, and there's multiple wells that you built. I'm telling you today, all around the world, in LA Dream Center, the sex trafficking that we help, you know, deliver girls from and help them build that there at the old LA hospital, it's still making an impact. Every deed and seed that we've ever done is going to turn back around and boomerang a harvest in your life. And in 2020, with 2020 clarity, you'll see your future and your hopes become a reality. But I'm asking you right now, here at all campuses, every head bowed and every eye closed, to not just dedicate yourself to have salvation, although we'll pray the salvation prayer, but I'm saying you're going to dedicate your whole life to God. Nobody looking around, if you're saying, not only do I want to get saved today, I want to give God my whole life. Raise your hand real high. Keep it up for about 3 seconds. All campuses, come on, raise it high. The Bible said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. I want to see that hand. Come on, don't let this moment pass you by. Get it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. This is not just for salvation. This is saying, Pastor David, I want a part of that banner year revival. I want to be cheerful about my life instead of depressed. My life isn't my own. I'm bought with a price anyway. There's still more hands that need to go up. Let's all do it right quick. Everybody, put your hand back up if you want to do that. Again, all campuses make high. Some of you made the decision. I want you to be alone. Pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus to die for me. He is my Lord and my Savior. My life is not my own. I'm bought with a price. And I'll serve you, Lord, faithfully all the days of my life. And then let's add more to this for those of you that are already born again. And even if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, ask God for more. Say, God, I want to give you more of me. I want to give you all of me. Come on, shout it loud. I want more of you. I want you to have all of me. And I want revival, glory to be in my life in Jesus' name. I decree it and I declare it. I give myself to you, wholly and solely, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.